Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this Tuesday, April 23rd of 2019. And, well, it's hard to believe this, but we are almost to the end of April. April flew by this time around. It went by quite a bit quicker than the earlier month, January, February, March. That's crazy, Annie, when April goes by quicker than...
I'm going to step out and make a phone call.
That's weird to me that April went by quicker than January. No, February. January, not fooling nobody there, but April going by faster than February, at least to this point. To me, that's kind of a shocker. Really is. Because January, that thing just goes by like a log. It's so slow. This goes by so slow, and a month feels like a month and a half. Not now. This is April. I wish July would go by as slow as January does, maybe even a little bit slower. Or that June would do that once you get to like the 15th. Then in the summer it can drag as long as it wants. It can just drag and drag and drag and drag, and the days could go by so slow. And I wouldn't care. I'd be happy with that, to be honest. Because summer in Michigan isn't long enough. In my opinion. Amen. Now, those of you who would like to debate it, we could debate it. And on this show, you're welcome to call in and give your opinions on stuff, you know, not, as long as it's not political. Yes, I pay attention to what's going on. However, we did not design, me and Preacher Man, we did not develop this to be a political show by any means. That's why we don't talk about politics on here. That doesn't mean we can't debate. You want to debate whether you feel like summer's long enough or not, we can have that debate. And I'd give you the reasons why. But I'm not going to do that. Tonight, right now, this is April. Maybe in like June or July, this is something I might very well come back to, and at that point, I'll explain what I mean by my statement that I just made. I'll say one little thing. I'll say, well. You might be thinking, well, you know, they say that meteorological summer is supposed to go to from June 1st to August 31st, but sometimes in early June or late August, sometimes it just, you'll have a few days, especially in early June some years, where it'll be stuck in like the low 60s or mid or high 60s. Excuse me. And during the summer, I don't like that so much. I'd rather have it be in the 90s, even in early June, than have those 60s. I'll explain why when the season comes. But, but regardless, I'm so happy to have you with me tonight, wherever you may be and whatever device you may be listening to this program on. Speaking of which, man, thank God for Coca-Cola. I'll come back to the Coca-Cola thing in a couple minutes. But listeners, I want to encourage you in something, to do something. I want you listeners to please tell someone about the show. Tell someone about the show that does not know about the show. Here's how you can tell them how they can be a part of the show. They can go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. Once you get on the website, you're going to see a search bar. Scroll down to that search bar. In that search bar, you're going to type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay? After you type in Upfront Entertainment, you're going to see a link that says Live and Large. Go ahead and click on that link. Then you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. Go ahead and click on that, because that's how you're going to know you've come to the right place, you've come to the right show. It'll either say Miracle Man, Preacher and the Miracle Man, something like that. But you'll click on that button. Once you're on the show, you'll see the button to stream. Go ahead and click on that. As you can see, so you can stream us live. And we have a follow button. And that follow button is awesome. Here's why. Because you're going to start getting notified when we're getting ready to do our shows. So tomorrow night, for example, our next show will be at 6:30 tomorrow night. You'll get notified a little while before that, hey, the Miracle Man is going to go live at 6:30. So you can plan so you can be a part of the show. And you don't want to miss it. We do some great things. We have great times in the Word of God. And you'll want my sports updates as well, because you can never go wrong if you're into sports than to hear what's going on from the Miracle Man. And yes, we do talk about food stuff and other stuff that's going on here and there. And so it's a great thing that we put together. It's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. It always is. And we're proud of it. And we're so grateful that we have this technology to be able to do this. Something cool is that all the shows we've done in the past, everything is archived. So you can go back and take a listen to what in the world has the Miracle Man been up to the past about to be 20 months and 2 days. And so go back and take a look, take a listen to what all I've been talking about, what all I've been discussing. And so feel free to look at that. Also, we have a telephone number where you can call in and be a part that way. You can talk directly to me, the Miracle Man. Do you want prayer? Do you want to thank me for something? Or criticize me for something I said? Do you want to discuss sports with me? Do you want to say, you know, love your Miracle Man, love your show? You know, and that. As long as it's not political, generally speaking, it's open for discussion. And you can call in whenever you want during when the show is running, because we run it between 6:30 and 8 p.m. We get done pretty close to 8, between about 10 till or so and 8 o'clock itself. But feel free to call in and discuss just about anything you want to talk about. And the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll want to go ahead and press 1. And here's what's going to happen when you do that. You are going to get notified. What's going to happen once you press 1 is my assistant, you're going to be taken through call screener. My assistant is going to answer the phone. And then she's going to let me know we have a caller. And then I'm going to say okay. Now my assistant, she's going to ask you city and state and that, unless obviously we know who it is. If we don't, she's going to ask. And the reason for that is so that I can identify for you, recognize you. Bob from Alabama, you're listening here on the Miracle Man Show. What say you? And I'll say that. And then I say, what say you? You have the floor. And as I said, basically anything goes as long as it's not political or slanderous or anything like that. We want to keep it clean. So, but other than that, feel free. And hopefully we can get some really good callers tonight, because I like good callers. I like good callers that have good stuff to say. Shows me you're paying attention. So, that's awesome. McDonald's has made an announcement. Yes, I'm shifting gears now to the monologue. But anyhow, McDonald's has made an announcement, two separate ones, actually. One of them is they are getting rid of the signature crafted recipe sandwiches. All those different, you know, some of the ones had names that are real hot, long, and that they're getting rid of those. Apparently they weren't really super popular.
Yeah, I never hear about people buying them. That doesn't surprise me.
They're getting away with those, and here's what they're going to try instead. They are going to bring in 4 different international menu items. One is called like Sutton Waffle McFlurry. And by the way, it's not WAFFLE. It's WAFEL. I forget the name of that flavor. I just know it had that little waffle in it. This is from the Netherlands. And then a kind of extreme bacon Big Mac or quarter pounder. I forget which one. From Spain. They're gonna bring in cheesy bacon fries from Australia, which means they'd be canceling the current cheesy bacon fries because something will probably be different about them. And then, in addition, they'll be having a mozzarella chicken tomato sandwich from Canada. I don't know how that's going to go over. I really don't know about that sandwich. But it's from Canada. I don't know how if they're going to have the chicken from in Canada or not. I'm kind of curious to see. Obviously, they'll still be making them here in the States. It's not like it's going to be some of it might be imported. I don't know. But
I'll
have to wait.
The bacon is actually inside. Like, it's all baked inside them. It's not, like, on top. So they're just, like, regular fries with the bacon and all that, like, right baked into them.
Because you just saw them?
Yep, I'm looking at
them. Yep, and So that's going to be, that'll be a bit different from what's available right now.
That McFlurry looks amazing.
Sounds good, too, so it's going to be a bit different. I think these items might be at that Chicago Mac I told you about, the one that's down near Randolph and Carpenter over there in Chicago. It's actually on. There's actually two different addresses. One is that 125 Carpenter, and the other is, it's not Madison or Randolph, it's something else, but it's near that area. But I believe some of those items are available there, but these are going to go nationwide in June. They didn't specify yet what part of June, but in June, I think it's safe to say, because when they made the announcement, I think it's safe to say it's going to be real close to, like, kind of one of those gateway dates. What's that? That's kind of that gateway period leading to that July 1st, July 4th period, kind of leading up to the 4th week. That's kind of like that 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, like that. Do you think it might be during that gateway time? Do you think what?
Yeah.
24th, 25th, that first couple of days, I wouldn't call that gateway time, not yet.
Quite yet, nope.
Maybe gateway week, but not those first couple of days. Mm-hmm. But probably real close to that, because it's one of my other favorites, because then it's like kind of the anticipation, if you know what I mean. Kind of hoping. And seeing like what the fourth's gonna be like, not so. Gonna have to wait and see how those sandwiches are gonna be. And by the way, that would be the perfect time to release that ice cream. By the way, because my hope is that by then it'll be like in the 80s a lot, in some 90s, and hopefully by then it won't be raining at all. If it rains just at night, but during the day, I just wish it could be sunny all day every day. You know, between like. June, I don't know, 10th, 8th or something, and, you know, August 31st. No, September 2nd, because that's Labor Day this year. So about 88, 90 days, which would be perfect, because that goes with, like, a temperature you'd often see in the summer, like 88, 90, you know, 90 for 90. I like that.
Yep.
Kind of a marketing thing, so we'll have to see. Like, I remember one place in Saginaw, they had a promote back when they had the Anderson Water Park in Saginaw. They used to market it as the 100 Days of Summer. I was told that's a play on the idea of it is like a play on like 100 degrees. I think maybe. Do you think that might have been what that's behind? Maybe.
Yeah.
So I like that kind of stuff a lot, personally. I do. Because it goes kind of like with the weather I hope for. But so McDonald's is going to be trying these international flavors. But here's what I don't expect the food to necessarily be spicy. So if you're looking for spicy, that's not going to be it. By the way, I really do wish they would have kept the spicy McChicken. Because even though I'm not super into really spicy stuff, that was an amount of spice that I could handle. And so they had that. Because right now, McDonald's doesn't really have anything that's spicy.
No.
Do
they have a sriracha sauce, though?
Yeah, but I think they should have spicy McNuggets that are decent.
Yeah.
Ones that are decent that the average person or semi-average could still handle. a little more spicy than like the Ponderosa wingdings, but
yeah, like buffalo wings maybe.
Yeah, yeah, like, or like buffalo nuggets, and like the buffalo sauce McDonald's used, it was a more, it was a really mild version, wasn't it?
It was.
And then, yeah, so what? So like the real B-Dubs buffalo sauce, that's pretty, that's more like, that's even more than like the buttered chicken, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or the other stuff was more like the buttered chicken, but it didn't have an Indian flavor. But I wouldn't mind if they tried some Indian McDonald's stuff here. Obviously, it couldn't be beef because in India they don't believe in beef. But in America, we're like, eat more beef, eat more beef. There goes the bacon too.
Yeah, they eat a goat once a big while, and then chicken.
Do they at least eat a breaded fish sandwich, a breaded fillet of fish?
I don't know, sure.
I really hope so, folks, because but it would still be a bummer to me losing the bacon, losing my burgers, losing the nice salty sausage, losing the it would still be a loss. And the garlic buns, I don't think they'd be the same garlic buns as the garlic buns here. I doubt it.
In my opinion, it's probably better.
But do they use a salty garlic? Because I've had naan bread, but that doesn't have the salty garlic on it.
No, you gotta get the flavored naan.
Does that have the salty garlic?
It has more seasoning on it. I like the garlic naan is my favorite.
Does it have the salty garlic on it?
Really strong. It's a lot stronger.
Whereas, unlike the other one, the one I like, that's like a lot of that is like part salt, part garlic mixed in, I feel like.
It's not real necessarily real garlic. It's more like a butter garlic.
Butter garlic with some salt put in it?
Yeah.
So is that why I'm feeling the salt grains? It's probably the salt they put in there?
Yep.
So those grain things that I'm feeling, do you think that's garlic or salt? Because garlic isn't really supposed to have the grains, is it?
Unless it's garlic salt. That might be what it is, honestly.
Because garlic salt is supposed to have a salty taste,
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, it's literally salt with the flavor of garlic.
Kind of like those fries you get, like, if you went to Bennigan's. If you went to, you know. Mm-hmm. By the way, listeners, Bennigan's in Midland is out. It's been out since, like, January. The nearest one is now Saginaw, if that one's still here. I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it's going to be there for that much longer, though.
I'm thinking that
they will all shut down. Because they all shut down, almost shut down like 10, 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started to reopen them. A few, they built some new ones, but...
I think within like 5 years, they'll all be gone.
And they'll be replaced with other stuff. Those are some good, garlic fries, and those are pretty garlicky. But that's kind of a mix, to be honest. And yes, it does taste different on the bun than it does on the fries. It does. It's just different. And as to why that garlic bun seems so much more special than like the garlic fries, I don't know, listeners. I don't know what to tell you. But something about it is, and I don't know why. It's just how it is. Can't explain. So if you tried to ask me, I would just tell you, I don't know why, but it is. Okay. So. I saw an article about how in Utah, they have a bunch of these different soda shops. In different parts of America, they're a big thing. In Michigan, I don't know of any soda shops. Do you?
Soda?
Yes.
If anybody would have them, it would be Detroit because they have Faygo there. So they might have like a Faygo place, but that's the closest to it.
Because Cleveland area even had one.
Oh, did they?
That, like,
the
three...
only thing I could think of is maybe Detroit.
You feel like those are more like cities to the south of us?
Yeah.
It, Do you bet that's the only one in Ohio, or do you bet Ohio has another one somewhere else? I feel like they might have another one. And then I'm sure Georgia has one. Mm-hmm. Or do you actually remember seeing one?
They do. They have Miracle Soda Shop in Detroit.
Does it have, like, a good amount of reviews on it?
It has 8 reviews.
Uh-oh. Eight Google reviews, right?
Yep, and they have a bagel beverage company, but we already knew that.
Yep, that's not a shop. That's just a company.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have them in Georgia, though. And probably in a couple of different neighborhoods of ATL, at least one neighborhood, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has a lot of reviews because I think part of it has to do with the climate, for one thing. Like, if it's a hotter climate, it makes it more sustainable. I think it really makes a difference. But anyhow. About this article, and it mentioned several different soda shops, and out there, you know, there's a lot of Latter-day Saints, and many people there don't really believe in drinking alcohol, kind of like me, but for whatever reason, they don't really believe in drinking coffee that much either. I wonder why a certain group of Christians wouldn't want to drink coffee.
Addictive, and an addiction to anything is considered a sin, which I agree with. I don't think to be addicted to anything.
The funny thing is my pastor loves caffeine.
So do I.
He'd be the first to tell you he loves it. He lives on that stuff, but obviously, you know, different group, different beliefs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so they really like sodas. They like putting different flavors in them. Sometimes you can put, like, they'll put coconut flavoring in Diet Coke and different things like that. And one place you can have, like, soda in your ice cream, like, it's different from a Coke float, but.
We ate two Boston Coolers reverse, and what Boston Coolers are is vanilla ice cream centers.
My understanding is that they're at Halo. Those are at Halo still.
They're good. I used to drink them growing up because my mom was in Boston.
Did you ever used to get them from Halo, like the Halo in Flint?
You know, we used to go to that Halo all the time at the church, so I'm sure I have.
Which one, that 4300 or whatever it is, West Pearson? That's where the Meijer, near the Meijer used to be.
Double burger or whatever they had with fries and shake.
It's right by where the Meijer used to be, right?
Yep.
So it's west of the bridge, though, not east.
Correct.
So, like, over there by where Meijer used, where near where Meijer used to be, and nothing is now.
But
I've went to that location. I've been to another location, somewhere else. But pretty good stuff. But I've been to other good places that are down there too. That's one of the things about down there is that there's just so many.
Exactly.
That it's just how not just Flint, but downstate is in general.
Yeah.
But I think part of it's demographics, amount of people.
Exactly.
82,000 in this county compared to about 420,000 down there in Genesee. That really makes a difference, I feel like. And even Saginaw at like 140 or whatever it is, that's not even close to 400K either. So a lot of it comes down to demographics and things of that nature. Because I used to wonder, you know, why Saginaw doesn't have as many different. Well, they'll have more different sit down options, but fast food wise, they'll just have more of the same, as opposed to different like Sonic, Halo. And others, but it's how they are. It's just how they are down there. Let me just check my clock real quick. I said all that to tell you this. In my mind, of the sodas I've tried, Coke is still the best soda there is anywhere. better than Dr. Pepper, better than Mountain Dew. And you can choose from vanilla, cherry, or orange vanilla, now available.
No, Coke Zero.
Nope, I don't advertise any of the diets or zeros.
Yeah.
I've
been hearing that on the radio with Brian.
But these ads I do for my, they're diet free and they're zero free. It's all regular. Because
yeah.
That, why? Because back before the 80s, that's all that was available. And I try to be traditional, but in a way. I'm for the new stuff, too, but in some ways I try to be really traditional. That's why I don't advertise the diet and stuff.
It's worked for you.
Yep, that's why it's just better the way it was. Pray now, and then I'm going to open it up. We're going to open it up to Acts chapter 3 today, and we're going to read the story. Peter and John, lame man that they healed. And then we're going to open it up and look at our text, Hebrews 11, this evening as well. With Easter, it's been a while since we read that text, so we're going to open it up and read it. And then we're going to discuss a bit. Yep. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this show. Thank you for these listeners who have tuned in tonight to learn of your word, to hear what you have to say, God. Thank you that these people come with hearts and minds that are ready to receive of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you use me as an oracle tonight. And Lord, I confess over this show right now that sponsors are coming and partners are coming to this radio program. Finances are coming into this program. Increases in listenership are coming to this program. And most importantly, souls are being won here on this radio program. Souls for you, people giving their lives to you, Jesus. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. All right. As I said, Acts chapter 3. And then go ahead and put a bookmark in Hebrews 11. Because we're going to go to Hebrews 11 after this. Praise God. Acts 3. I just want to encourage you, whatever I do here at this McDonald's where I am, where I'm at, go along and do it with me. First one. Now, I'm in Acts 3 now. I'm going to begin reading. Just feel free to just go ahead and catch up with me. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon, also known as the ninth hour in those days. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. One version says alms. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit and beg at the temple court gate, called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11 now, next passage. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all of the people were astonished, and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham," capital G, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and you asked that a murderer be released to you." Now, we read about this last week. "And you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. And you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, quote, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like men from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Okay, now, listeners. Do you want to go to Hebrews 11? Well, too bad that I asked. We're going there anyway, whether you want to or not. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Hebrews 11. I'm going to start with verse 1, as is custom. After I put this away. Sorry about that. Hebrews 11. Hebrews. You know, and there's certain thing I heard a preacher say many years ago at our church. He was kind of being funny. I don't know why he said it, but I think it's funny. He brews coffee. I forget what guest speaker that is, but don't you think that's pretty funny, Annie? He brews coffee like that?
Sure do.
I like that. But I really hope that's not why he hasn't been back, because I thought that was funny. Praise God, we're not worried about the coffee, though. We're worried about the Word of God. I don't mean like it's a bad kind of worried. I mean focus, fixing our eyes upon the Word of God. Just fixing a couple things first. And then we will open it up and begin reading from our next passage of Scripture. Praise God. Hebrews 11. We're beginning with verse 1 right now. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not just made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed God and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Verse 13. All of these people were still living by faith when they died, even though they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And turn on the page. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw him, that he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the faith marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Now, so, we read in the book of Acts chapter 3 about Peter and John, they were on their way to pray in the temple courts. They met a lame man on the way who used to sit and beg out in front of the gates to the temple. As we would say it today, he used to sit and beg at the entrance to the church. So he'd be sitting out there in front of that church. He'd be asking for money. So they did what they would usually do. Asked Peter and John for money. But Peter and John told him, I don't have silver. I don't have gold. What I have for you guys, though, I'm going to give you. And then here's what he says. This is so powerful. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That man, who had, by the way, been lame since birth, he got up and walked. First, obviously, with the help of Peter and John, because I imagine he didn't know what it felt like to walk, so he needed some assistance, because wouldn't that be bad? Like he got healed, but then when trying to learn how to walk on his own, he fell and broke his foot or whatever again. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? So they had to help him so that he could get it right, and then God did the rest, and God helped him. God And I'm sure God showed him how to walk. Because like I just said, he had been lame from when he was born. And it doesn't say how old he was. He was a man, we know that much. I don't know if he was. There was a man in John that who had a condition, and he had had that condition for 38 years, but not from birth. So he had to at least be in his 40s, 50s, or 60s. But as for this man, I don't know, nor will I try to guess. By the way, for that matter, his age doesn't matter for the case of this story. What matters is that God healed him, and all these people tried to make it seem like maybe it was just Peter that healed him. No, it wasn't. God used Peter and John, but God did the healing power. He did the healing miracle. I mean, all Peter and John did is say, they just took authority and they prayed and they said, in the name of Jesus, and I'm sure they called him by name once they found out his name, we'll just call him, let me think here. Eugene, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he prayed over him, and then Eugene got up to his feet, and started walking in front of everybody, and everybody was amazed at what they had seen. And then some of the people surprised, and they were like, "What? How did this happen?" You know, and they were like, "All some of them are looking all doubtful." They're all like, "Are you sure? Is this real?" And then Peter had to remind them. Peter and John had to remind them. You know, you folks are some of the ones who chose to crucify Jesus rather than let him go. You folks are the ones who screamed for Barabbas. And then I mentioned, you know, we read about that last week, right before Easter. And these people were in doubt and unbelief. And it's not good to live in doubt and unbelief. It's not. You'll get yourself, you will find yourself in big trouble if you choose to walk in doubt and unbelief towards God, who created all things. But you see, and he had to explain, Peter and John had to explain all this stuff to them so that they'd be able to understand. But we're going to continue going on in the book of Acts from time to time as the Lord leads. You know, in Acts you see stories. At one point in there, there were times where almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. Almost the whole city. Didn't say how big the city was, how many people were in it, but a whole city came to hear the word of God. And they received it. And they were glad. But you see, we can believe in revival, in healing revivals, and the faith movements and things of that nature all we want. Yes, there was the Jesus movement and the faith movement quite a few years ago. But people have to be hungry. True revival is when people seek God. And they're believing for healings. Now, you don't want to be. Revival doesn't start just because the people of God ask for revival. You show you're ready for revival by seeking God fervently. And like nothing else matters. And you don't care how late pastor preaches. And you're just hungry. You're expecting God to move on your behalf. And you believe in God for loved ones, for prodigals to come home, and you believe in God for, you know, signs and wonders, and you were just asking God to move. That is when revival comes. Not because we're sitting there screaming for revival. You can't just sit there and scream for revival and expect it to come. You got to prove to God. You do. You do.
It's not. She thinks it's
funny. If you want him to move on your behalf, it's like with healing. You got to ask God. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And that's with your miracle period. You have not because you ask not. God wants to hear you calling forth those things that are not as though they are. That is true faith. Calling forth those things that are not as though they are. And living by faith, it's a lifestyle. It's not just something you do on Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And something you only do during church time. The truth is, faith is, comes by hearing the word of God. It does. So, that's great that you're building up faith, that you're building up faith when you're given attendance to the word and you're at church. But you can be getting faith into your ear by listening to the Bible on CD or on some drive or on your phone app. Or if you got a spirit-filled, born-again, while you're baptized pastor, and you got some of his stuff, turn it on. Because sometimes you're going to need more faith than what you just get during a week. You are. It takes a lot of faith to live today. And that's not talk. And that And by the way, I'm not, that's just talking about, but when you're reading the Bible, I mean, when you're listening to, hearing the Word of God preached, that's where faith comes. Not by reading. As awesome as reading the Bible is, that's not how you build faith. Let me just check my clock real quick. But praise God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But I love that story in Acts chapter 3. I love it. And how Peter, you know, was just so bold, and how he talked to those people. Right there afterwards, and he said, you know, men of Israel, and then he explained some stuff, trying to get them to repent. And they needed to hear what he had to say. They needed to hear it. Because they were walking in doubt and unbelief, see? And can't please God without faith. As we read in Hebrews 11, and you got to know that he exists. You can't be doubting God's existence. That's the first step to having faith, knowing that God exists. And you got to be seeking him. Now, Lord, I thank you for this word tonight, this word that we studied in Acts 3, and also in Hebrews 11, what we studied there tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you used Peter and John as they were ministering to that man, Lord. And I just thank you that we would all put this word in our heart, and that we would just all put this word to practice. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Now, the Tigers beat the Red Sox, actually, today, 7-4. 7-4, so not too bad. Seven runs, that's not too bad, as they're looking to improve upon what I heard last week, that they had scored less runs than anyone else in baseball. And they were batters who had scored as many runs, almost as many runs, as the whole Tigers team combined. So what we saw today was a step in the right direction. I want to see them doing some more of that. For the Red Sox part, they are not doing so well as of late. They're not doing so good now, are they? Those Red Sox sometimes are just one of those teams that's so hard to figure out. One year they do so awesome. The next year they kind of take a slide back, and, you know, they'll only win like 88 games or something, or 84 games and miss the playoffs. And then the next year, what do you know? They're way back up on top. And then the next year or 2 years later, kind of. They're like that freak-out ride, aren't they? The Red Sox is like, I like the freak-out. Like that pendulum goes two different ways, you know? I think instead of being called the Boston Red Sox, I think they should really be the Boston freak-outs. Because you never know year to year what they're going to do. And it's not like they're trading everybody away. We were more predictable back when we had Verlander and all those. For the most part, we were more predictable than that. I know, right? Mm-hmm. For the most part, we were more predictable than what Boston was.
Yeah.
Whereas Boston, freak out. Because you never knew what you were gonna get, how high it was gonna go. Would the wind drive it? Because sometimes that wind will drive the freak out too, you know. And that wind could be like injuries and other things of that nature. Trades. That was good that the Tigers got put up a seventh spot. So. Step in the right direction. Hopefully we'll have more games like that. They play the Red Sox again tomorrow. Okay. The Pistons, they blew it last night. They had a 10-point lead. Near halftime, they were up by 10 points. They couldn't keep it. I turned that game on in the third quarter after Milwaukee had just tied it up, and Lucy's arena was still kind of loud, but then Milwaukee just started piling up on the points, and I just heard Little Caesars Arena get really quiet, really fast. And it wasn't pretty. They fall 125 to 105. 105 to 85. They fell. 115 to 95. They fell to the Bucks. They lost by a combined 95 points. 95 points. How do you do that? That's the equivalent of a full game on average for most teams. Close to a full game. You know, kind of close, I'd say, if you averaged it out between the East Coast teams and the West Coast teams. For whatever reason, it seems like the last couple of years, like the teams out West score more, and that doesn't make any sense. I can't figure that out, but it's just how it works. I would say on average in the league, it's like 104, 105. And that 95 is kind of close to that. But it's been, they just got outplayed a couple times. And at halftime, they saw the game. But for whatever reason, in the second half, it's like Milwaukee just, we're turning it up, boys. Roll it on. There was a day where the Pistons used to do the same thing like 15, 16 years ago. Remember? They used to step on the gas second half.
Yeah.
And many times during that time, they were behind in the second half. And sometimes, at halftime, and sometimes by a lot, remember? And then they... Oh, yeah, there's a doubleheader. When did they get a rain out against the Wright? Why are they playing a doubleheader today?
I don't know, but I was listening to it, and they were on the second game when we were coming here.
Oh, man.
My thing is why are they having a doubleheader? They shouldn't have a makeup. They have to do with the Red Sox.
Well,
no.
They had two.
No, I'm not
laughing. Yep, it's 0-0 right now.
But then they have two games.
And they're in the second.
Was this a scheduled doubleheader, possibly? Or was this a makeup?
They play again tomorrow at 7:10.
This must have been a scheduled doubleheader. So I thought the league did away with that. They used to do that many, many years ago, but this is the first time that I've heard of a scheduled MLB doubleheader in my lifetime. Isn't it yours too, Annie, that you know of?
Yep.
So they won the first one.
That was
right
the first
now,
one.
Right now it's 0-0 on the second.
So that 7-4 was the first game. Right now it is 0-0, second inning of game two of this doubleheader. And I didn't even know it was a doubleheader for one thing, and
oh,
two.
Too.
Oh, and by the way, it's in Detroit, and it's a doubleheader. I thought doubleheaders were exclusively for makeups, exclusively. Apparently, this is something different they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're doing it, but I've never heard of it in my lifetime.
Right?
Not in all the years I've been on this planet, but I wasn't here back in the 70s, 60s, 50s prior to that. And way back when, it was something common, you know, to do these doubleheaders. You've heard that before, right? But this is like the first one I've ever heard of that was actually scheduled like this.
Yeah.
So are they doing it because maybe they couldn't fit, they didn't have any other time to fit it in?
Possibly.
Maybe it was a conflict or something?
Yeah, maybe.
Because the league, because I thought MLB tried really hard to limit this. Because playing 18 games can be very stressful, and one day can be pretty stressful on the batters and such. So it's one of the ways to help decrease the amount of stress. You know, it's a health and safety thing. So I thought they tried to strictly limit these to only when makeups needed to be, and that when possible, trying to make doubleheaders a last resort, you know?
Yeah.
But this one was actually scheduled, and that really surprised me about the Tigers thing. Okay. That was just an update on that. But on the Pistons, for the Pistons' sake, they are going to need a couple good shooters going forward. And I give Dwayne Casey credit for getting them to 500 on the regular season. But I know they can do, if they can get a couple good pieces, they'll be able to get a bit better. And by the way, Milwaukee came out of nowhere. They had not won a playoff series since 2001.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. And then what do they do? They swept the Pistons. The Pistons almost lost to an 8-seed Orlando back in 03. They climbed out of that hole. It was like, felt like Easter all over again, even though it was like a week and a half or so after Easter.
Right.
It felt like all this happened and all that happened. And then I went to Tennessee for few days to some certain camp thing or whatever, and I came back thinking the Pistons had lost, and then I find out when I get to school the next day, your teams are winning, the Tigers are winning, the Pistons won their series, ended up winning that series, because mind you, in those days, my mom didn't even have a cell phone. The person who went with us didn't really have internet on their phone. So, mind you, this was back in O-Duck 30, 2003. And I know it's still in the new millennium, but it was different from now. And we didn't have iPhones back then, so we could see in the car. Now I just do it in the car. Now I just figured out, you know, mm-hmm. You know, when you're driving. Oh, by the way, Pistons won the series. But it wasn't easy for them, but they got it done. Ever since that point, all the number ones versus number eights are so lopsided now. 9 times out of 10, they're a sweep in the East. I wonder if maybe they need to reevaluate the playoff system, at least for the East. If you do it for the East, you'll have to do it for the West, too. Because when you're seeing that it's always a sweep and that it's so lopsided, you got to change something. Because it can just be Blake Griffin he fouled out yesterday with six fouls, and he wasn't real happy about it because I feel like the officials kind of duped him a little bit. At least one of them that I know about. That number six after I had turned it on. The Lions. I figured I would discuss for tonight what the Lions' biggest needs are for the draft. Going into Thursday, by the way, the draft is in Nashville, Tennessee on Thursday evening. The Lions really need a left tackle on defense, a good, solid left tackle who can help stop these offenses and can create pressure and make it difficult. Also a good running back who can run good in various situations. And then I think a decent wide receiver for short yardage situations could be of help for Stafford. I'm hearing discussions. Right now the Lions have the 8th overall draft pick. I'm hearing discussions, however, that they could trade down. Will they trade down? I'm having a hard time telling what they're going to do. The Giants are at 6 right now, but who knows what could happen. We won't know until Thursday night. I won't know until Thursday night when I'm listening to the draft after I get out of service Thursday night, because but once I get out of service, that's what I'm going to be listening to, is that draft. Because I want to know, you know, what we're going to get. And I'm going to reveal that to you Monday, and I'm going to give a grade. I like how we did on free agency for the Lions, but let's face it. This year, in my mind, the Lions are at an ultimatum. Make the playoffs or bust. What I mean is, that doesn't mean they won't be the Lions anymore. What I mean by that is, either they make the playoffs, or Bob Green, Matt Patricia, Matthew Stafford, Bob, Matt, and Matt might have or two, or all three, might have to be given the old heave-ho at the end of the season if they don't make the playoffs. So it's really important that they make the playoffs this year. And my hope is that between the draft and free agency, that can be a result, that they can get someone. Maybe kind of given a special in-season gift, like how Golden Tate got traded to someone. Maybe we'll get something like that. But a lot of these players, though, once they get sent to a different team and partway through the season, they don't end up doing so well for the rest of the season after they're transferred, huh? Even though in baseball they can transfer and be lights out, but for whatever reason in football it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's why it's better if they're going to be moved around, if they moved around beforehand so they can be acclimated, you know, and that, because for whatever reason in football, all that kind of stuff just is more of a shocker, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like when they get sent away. And I don't think Golden Tate wanted to be sent away, did he?
No.
So it's like so it just made it kind of rougher for us last year. That didn't help things much. So hopefully we'll And as I said, I will give a draft grade combined with a free agency grade to see kind of how did we do in the off season of meeting our needs. How did these guys do at college? How did these guys do, the ones who got traded to Detroit, how did they do with where they were prior? So I'm going to kind of give an assessment. Well, Miracle Man, what about a predicted win total? We'll do that in like August or early September. This is just going to be an assessment, a letter grade assessment. A, B, C, D, or F. So I'm going to be like the college instructor. or teacher. And by the way, I'm not going to use E because the public school systems use it. I don't know why they use E and not F. What's the reason for why they use E and not F, Annie?
I have no idea.
Way back when, they actually used to use F, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do no E. There are no E's. It'll be an F. But at least by free agency, that's beyond an F for sure. In fact, I would say it's at very worst a C+ free agency is. Based on how the draft goes, though, it'll be the complete package. So it'd be like the complete assignment if I was a teacher grading it, you know. So that'll determine what grade I give them, and just based on how they did at trying to improve the team. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.